Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
All the glory and honor to the one who made of nothing a something. We were all a nothing. Say, I was a nothing. Now I'm a somebody. Just thank the Father. Just thank the Father. Father, thank you. That I can call you Father. Yes, it's one thing to talk about the Father, but the real thing is knowing the Father. Isn't that wonderful? Just praise Him and glorify His name. Hallelujah. I nearly asked Pastor Dan immediately when they were singing, "I want you to come." No greetings, no nothing. Because the key word tonight in the singing was presence. Presence. You can manufacture a presence. That's what we used to do, we traditional Pentecostals. But we need the real presence. If we want to make a difference in this world, we need the presence. It's no good talk about Jesus if they don't see Jesus. I used to preach about releasing the aroma. It's no good talk about Jesus if they can't smell it. Therefore, it's for me, I'm very much an honor to stand in front of you. And I, even if I've done that for 40 years, I always tremble a little because it must be Him seen in me. And I believe at this stage, we don't need to hear any more Carl Sanders' voice. If you cannot hear the Father's voice in my voice, it means nothing I do or say. We are moving into a period where people want to see the real God. They want to experience. Amen. They want to experience. They don't want to just hear. It's no good to say. You know, I remember many years ago in Holland, people are, you know how people are, they are very radical. And I wanted to be very holy, and I came like a true pastor with the Bible. And I said, "Oh, God is here. God is here." We used to do that. And all of a sudden, someone jumped up and said, "Where's He?" Hello? The presence. You know what? We are going to sit down just now. The presence means, if the presence is in you, not on a Sunday evening or a Sunday morning, it needs to be all the time with you. Then you become a grace carrier. And where you move, you release grace. You know what? You don't, strictly speaking, don't need healing meetings, because when the grace is in you and you pass the sick, and it's going to happen in time to come, that people will find healing. Because what's in you, you release. Say, "Thank you, Father. Need more of that grace. I want to be your instrument." Now, remain standing. Because I only decided an hour ago, I want you together with me and you, or you and me, we are going to read the scripture. So an hour ago, I talked to Pastor Henny, I don't believe in titles, I'm Carl, they call me Papa, that's okay. The days of titles and the titles, all gone. We need him. Because I am what I am because of Him. Yes. So, and I felt, yeah, because I don't know why, and I think what you're going to read will filter through the message also. But I was highly inspired by yesterday morning's breakfast meeting when Pastor Dan, brought a very plain, simple message. Even this morning, if you haven't been here this morning, you better get the tape. Never mind that Jesus is coming, but there were things said we need to know and understand and do. Because, forgive me, I'm running away anyhow tomorrow. We have overemphasized salvation grace. But together with salvation grace, there are responsibilities and commitments. And we need more people who are committed to the task assigned to us. Can Can you put us Matthew 5? You don't need the Bible. It will be there. Are you ready to read together with me? Okay, I like that. What we do in Africa lately, I'm teaching the pastors. Start with reading the word. Let somebody read the word. Never mind where he reads. But let the people stand and read together. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors. The what? The what? Next one. If you lose your saltiness, what do you lose? Or you can lose? How will people taste godliness? You have lost your usefulness and will end up? Next verse. Here's another way to put it. Hello. Hang on. Here's another way to put it. 1, 2, 3. You are here to be light, bringing out the in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this, as public as a city on the hill. Next one. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Oh, next one. Now that I've put you on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Say again, shine. Say to the person next to you, shine. Say to the other person next to you have to shine more. Shine. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Next one. Be opening up to others, and you will prompt people to open up with God, the generous Father in heaven, completing God's law. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Now, I want to show you something. I'm not going to talk much about Africa because you had a lot of missions speaking to you, and I'm African. Unfortunately, I have a little wrong color, but I'm an African. But you know, I need to say this. I don't know if Mama likes it, but I need to say this. The word unity is twice in the Bible. And those who are very clever in Greek and Hebrew and the previous languages, when you start studying it, you will discover that the word is wrongly translated. The word unity needs to be replaced with the word oneness. Say oneness. It's no good to say if you are united means nothing, because you can still be an inaccurate alignment. You can still look down at people. When you are one, when we as a family of God are one, we don't even see color. Hello? We in this church, let's call this church, but strictly speaking, you church. But we need to be one. If we are not one, we will not accomplish very much. But we need to be one, because there is power in the many made one. There is power in the many made one. Now in Africa, I tell them, brothers, we need to work. I don't mind what church they are. I work with all of them, even Moravians and Anglicans. There is oneness. Now in Africa, where we work with meters. Oh, yeah, I know you work with feet and yards and what they call this, other inches. Now, this represents 1 meter, and I think in your language is 3.4 feet. Okay? So this is 100. Right? 100. Say 100 is 100 centimeter and so many inches. But let me illustrate or say this represents years, 100 years. Okay, now I am 76. See where I came from. I am 76, so this is that way I came. Okay, I didn't know the Lord before that I was 30. But I'm 76, and say, the average is 80. Okay, that means there is so much left of my life. I want you to see something. There's only this much of left of my life. But I've not planned yet to die. I am planning, even in what is left, to make a difference. To transfer more of him in me to others. But now, this is the key. Some of you are only 30. See, if you are, say you are 30, and the average, have a look how much is left. Can you see how much is left? Even if you are 40, huh? You think you're old when you're 40? Have a look how much is left. I believe still much can be done. I believe we need to stop being negative about America and negative about the situation in America. That's rubbish. We need to become more positive because God is in control. The world does not belong to the devil. The world belongs to God. But you see, yes, we spoke about Jesus will come. Yes, he will come. And I don't worry when and how. But he for surely will not come for a losing, weak group of people. And I also believe, if we talk about, Pastor Jim quoted, I think this morning, the Lord's Prayer about the kingdom has to be established on this earth. And it can only be established when the true sons of God, because we read in Romans 8, verse 14 and 19, and Galatians, and in 1 John 3, strictly speaking, let me put it straightforward to you. We need to stop being children and start growing. Yeah. And become sons, because the true sons will be the reason that people will see God. It's about God, it's not about me. So, the will of God in heaven. What is done in heaven needs to be done on earth. So we need to bring down, we need to bring heaven down to earth. Hello? We need to make this heaven. But brother, I nearly said that's a hell of a job. But it's going to be done with you or without you. You make the choice. You make the choice. That's the key. It's going. The other day I stood in Dar es Salaam, and Dar es Salaam is the capital city of Tanzania on the east coast, on the ocean, and there came a very big oil tanker, maybe 200 yards, those are enormous ships. And some of you only see a little what comes above the water, it's loaded with oil. And I was thinking that ship is going the direction south, towards the bottom of Africa, all along the coast. But all of a sudden, the captain of that oil tanker gets a message. Come back to Mombasa. So that means while he's going that way, he needs to turn around and come back. And then I spoke to people and did some little investigation. And they told me, for such a ship to turn around, it takes between 13 and 16 miles. Let me tell you, this ship, we only talk about all the problems we have and the churches who are falling apart and others falling from the bandwagon. Things are getting hopeless according to many. But brother, I am seeing this mighty ship turning. It's going to turn with you or without you. You choose. It's your choice. All we need to remember, we are not here to come on a Sunday to church and sing hallelujah, praise the Lord. We are not here to attend many church services. We are here for a reason. And one of the biggest problems is, you see, I don't know why I didn't plan to speak like this, but while I sat there, I realized, even if I'm 40 years in the ministry, but I've never grown so much as in the past 4 years. Me and my wife, Vivia, Mama, they call her in Africa, we have grown in 4 years like I've never grown before. That doesn't mean what we used to do in the past was wrong. No, no, the past brought us this far. But how many of you know what worked in the past will not work? And even more in the future. So, but anyhow, I learned so much. And one thing I learned, we need, and we have been hearing that yesterday morning, and even this morning, it's about getting back to the Word. Not theology. Because you can have what they call this high-grade BA. Groot doktersgraad. PhD. You can have a PhD, I know, in theology and yet not know God. I'm sorry. In Swahili we say samahandla. Forgive me. But brother, it's time. And I love you people tonight. Even this place is not full. But the kind of people here on a Sunday evening tells me they have a desire to hear more of God and have more of God. That's why you are here. And even if it is just you, even if it is just you, or even as a half of you present who want to walk and are close or are willing to pay the price to come into an accurate alignment with God. I'll talk about that on Tuesday evening. We need to come in an accurate alignment. You know what that means? We need to get back in line with God. We talk about it, but I'm talking now about the accurate, because you can be very like this, and you can speak in tongues and clap hands and dance and that, not yet be in alignment with God. That's the time where we are in. Never mind where we came from. That was not wrong. But if we want to make a difference in the years to come and help the ship to turn, it's going to turn with you or without you. You choose. We need more men. And God does no gender, so we call about men. We need more who go back to the Word. Take time. Take time. The Bible is not there for reading. The Bible is there for studying. The Jew, what they call such a guy, rabbi, said one day, we know you guys, you read the Bible. But we look at it until it jumps in me. You see, we need to hear God. That's why it's good to come and listen to messages as you have been hearing. If they speak the Word, which is clear Word, plain, simple Word, and we take time to explain and make people to understand the various meanings and what is God saying, because we need to focus on revelation knowledge. Not what some books say and some other people said on TBN. We need to hear God. So it's about hearing, nothing else. It's not about talking. It's not about preaching and teaching. It's about hearing, accurate hearing. But I believe, and I'm still not there where I need to go, and my time is against me. I have spiritual warfare again with the watch. I know, I forget what I wanted to say. You know, I believe. Now listen carefully. I believe there is a time. We're already there. We are in a different season. We need to understand that. The past was good. Even in America today, the winter starts or somehow. So we came out of the summer. We talk about seasons. I can talk about 3 hours about seasons. Why do we have seasons? We had a Pentecostal season. We had a charismaniac season. We had all those seasons, but we are now in a season where God wants to bring. You know, that's why you see there is also a cleaning process. God will work. You don't need to work. Forget about working for Jesus. He wants to do the work through you. I too many times in my past, even me used to tell God, okay, God, use it. I will fix it for you. And I've always been fixing. I've never been afraid. Wherever I go, even I nearly landed in jails and been persecuted. We can write books about it. I'm not afraid of any devil. But I said to God, don't worry. But many of the things we did was not God things. Now we need to come in alignment and start doing what God says. The things of God, not the things of somebody. Hello? So, I've learned a lot. It's about the Word. The Word. It's about God. Now, I didn't know I'm going to say it. I've been sat on bed this afternoon, and this is a kind of a type of a prophecy. Let's call it a word which is in line with that what I've already said. You must listen carefully. The Lord is awakening us. You hear what I'm saying? We are moving in a time, or already in a time, that God is awakening you. God, the Lord is awakening us to who we are, why we are, who we are. Hello? He has a purpose for each of us to fulfill his purpose on earth. Not in heaven. On earth. We have to bring heaven down. It's no good I talk about heaven and people cannot experience heaven in my life. Hello? God created heaven and earth. And I like what I think Pastor Dan said tonight. Never mind where I die, where I go. I want to go where God is. Yes. It's about going where God is. Correct? Amen. Now listen to this. God wants us to understand that our destiny is to become manifested sons in the kingdom. In other words, our job is not your singing and clapping or attending what. It's revealing, opening up the truth that people can see, people can hear, can experience. Here is a true man of God. You don't need to say, I'm reborn. You don't need the sticker on the car, I'm reborn. Look inside the car. Like we've heard this morning. It's about, how do you know? Okay, how do you know somebody's reborn? It's not because he comes to church or he fell on the ground. This is not the signal of that they've been reborn. But the key to knowing that someone has accepted the Lord as his personal Savior is lifestyle. It's lifestyles. You know? And I like Pastor Jim and others are going to talk more about faith. You know, some of us, all thing we know is we always talk about faith, 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 faith. But you know, it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because faith and obedience go hand in hand. If you want an increase of faith, so that when in the times when you are down and you are in the pit, hallelujah, amen. You must know you must still have faith. You know? Even if you're doing very well, you don't even know how much money you got in the bank and you got a couple of motor cars and a swimming pool on top of the house. You must still have faith. Hello? Because it's not all about faith. I have a teaching. I don't know, I thought I was going to talk about it, but I'm not. Tuesday. This obedience and faith, the more you develop that, the more anointing you will have. And we traditional people, we think anointing is running upside up and jumping and shouting. Look at, there's anointing. No, there's no anointing, there's performance. But the more anointing you have, the presence, the more glory will operate through you. So it's obedience and faith, anointing, glory. We need to come. I like this morning the word likeness was explained. Very nice. But you can, there's a longer word. Likeness is a longer word as image. Image is you look like God. All right? You talk like God. You walk like God. All right? The image. Image has to do with glory. We need to have his presence which makes you shining. It's glory. So, now, again, I'm saying something I should have not said. If you go to, you know, we have been focusing in the last year or two. That doesn't mean I'm clever, okay? I only know certain, I know nothing. But let me see if I can go there. And I need to not waste time to going somewhere where I might not get. But I want to read something to you. It's in Genesis chapter 1. You know, we maybe need to learn to go back to in the beginning. In the beginning. That's why I said the Lord is awakening us to who we are and why we are who we are. Most people have lost their identity. They don't know who they are. Brother, you can sing in tongues and you can jump up and down the aisles and you can be slain or fall on the ground. Means nothing if you do not know who you are. You see, that's where we need to go. If you know who you are a grown-up child, because the Bible talks about children. And children need to grow. It's time that some of our people who have been baptized 40 years ago, but they're still sucking. Not here, at another place. But hey, we need to grow, isn't that? How do you grow? You don't grow by singing more and giving more money. Growing is by getting in the Word and hearing what God says. Spending time in the Word. And you know what I like the most? The Lord, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, etc. You know that one. So it was evening and morning on the third day. And then we go to chapter 2, sorry. Then the Lord said, that's not me who said, Lord said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds, over the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps. Okay, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and he said, be fruitful. Multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over, etc. You know that part. No, that part does not just mean we must make more children. He planted himself in you. He planted a seed in you. And that seed must be transferred. You know, we are here to transfer seeds. To give seeds so that people can grow. Now, God blessed them and he said, prosper and reproduce, fill the earth. It's no good that we keep on making children, but our children are lost. I wanted to talk about Hannah and about Samuel and about David, and it looks like I'm not getting there. But you know, we must become aware of that. How important are young people? How important are children? Because I believe, according to Psalm 102 and other places, a generation yet to be born, will do the finishing job. So somewhere, even if we don't see the finishing job, even if we don't see the ship already totally and going in the right direction, that's okay. But we have been even hearing this morning, we are here to lay that platform, to make it that our children, and if I see those little children from Pastor Dan and Yolandi's children, they are small, who says, if out of them, we must remember that God is a timeless God. Do you understand that? So that's why we needed to hear that he will come, but we don't know when. God's a timeless God. God has no time. God has time, no time. The job will be done with you or without you, but there is a generation coming. But we need to prepare that generation. And we can only prepare that generation not by quoting verses and singing songs, by transferring the truth in our own life. They need to hear it in the family. They need to hear the father and the mother praying and calling upon the Lord. They need to see you reading scripture. They need to see you doing what is good, which will feed them. You see, we come out of a past where we even forced children to be baptized, and they don't know why they are baptized. We come out of a time where we took young people and even taught them how to speak in tongues. Start kutarakatetede. That's where we come from. Maybe some of you can remember that. But that means nothing. They need to experience the peace and the presence of God in the house. That is what they see, they carry. What they see, they experience. And that is what I wanted to say when I lost track because I was looking at the men and said, oh, God, help me. I believe we're moving in a time not just of hearing, but seeing. You know, when John was at Patmos, poor John, they had taken out his eyes. And I don't know, one day it must have been standing, I don't know where he was standing, and maybe looking that direction, although he could not see. And all of a sudden he heard a voice behind him. And the Bible says in Revelation, I think 1:12, and he turned around and saw. Listen, we need to hear the word that clear. When Samuel said, here I am. The scripture, I was going to read that. But time. He jumped up. I think so. It's not 100% written. But the Bible says, and he stood. You think Samuel remained lying down? I don't think so. God spoke to him 5 times. You can go and count it. I was counting it again. I used to say, when I prepared this message, I did somewhere introduction 4 times, but then I found out it's really 5 times. Because then God spoke. Now, what is so beautiful of this story of Samuel? You know, he grew up in the church, let's call it the church. But everything in the church, in the room where he was sleeping, next to that room, there was corruption. No, that's what I've heard this morning when we were together in the office, or yesterday, I can't remember. And when you open up the magazines and Charisma and whatever you read, I don't know what you guys all read, but you see every day a lot of nonsense what is taking place and a lot of half-truths, because we come out of an era, forgive me for saying it, we have been hearing half-truth. We have been preaching things which pleases the ear of people. We have been focusing on grace, and I call it greasy grace. But we need to get an alignment to hear the accurate word. And not just preach it, but break it in such a manner that people can follow it, that people can feel it, that people can understand it. It's no good to say to all of you, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. It just remains, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. But there needs to be a change, which doesn't come from the outside. We can do all the platforms. But what needs to take place is from the inside out. I also fabricated many things. I've been a pastor, not a pastor from a church, only a few years. But I learned a lot. I did many things. And there was a lot of performers. There were even times, if they didn't fall, I made them to fall. Go to Africa, then you see that. Ask them. You see things you cannot believe. But guess what? You know, that's why I don't, you must forgive me if I say this, I don't believe in mass evangelism. Because I can prove to you, not even 1% are saved. Really saved in mass crusades. But that's okay. That's all right. We did those things. And it worked somehow. We have seen it. But we need to take these people, and we cannot just leave them. We need to take them somewhere. But if you want to take them somewhere, then you need to know, where is that somewhere? What must I do? Because it's not how many people we've got in the church. It's not how many people sing on loud voices, praise the Lord, hallelujah. No. At the end of the day, I've been teaching the leaders and the pastors in the past few years, put them on a scale. Because success is not measured in how many people come. Listen. I've seen small churches who make a bigger impact as the ones who've got 5,000. Because in Africa, we also made mistakes. We taught them like that. It's all about money, it's about titles, about bodyguards. And today, we've got 453 million Christians in Africa. Unbelievable, far over 60%, yet we kill one another, yet there's corruption, yet there is so much things happening. So much. It's unbelievable. But yet I believe, you know what I believe? I believe Africa will be one of the continents who will be the reason that the ship turns faster. Africa. You know why? We've got good people in Africa. Don't think they are stupid. Forget about it. They're the most wonderful people. The best people. They love things. But you know, if you have not taught them, they love anything. That's why they can worship a thing in the tree. They say it has a spirit. We don't understand that. But those people, when you help them, and you see, that's why we did many good things in the past, but with the things we had to do, we didn't do. And you can even see that in South Africa, where things have been declining tremendously. While we had all the opportunities to invest in people and lift them up and make something out of them, we didn't do it. Now if you go, everybody knows Soweto. Everybody in the world knows where Soweto. They don't know where Johannesburg, but they know where Soweto is, because everything started there, 2 million plus people. You know, before or during apartheid, nearly 80% plus went to church. Today, it's not even 11% of the people swear to go to church. Hannah means grace. Hannah didn't worry. She knew things are not right. At that stage, the whole place was falling apart because of the sons of Eli or Eli. They were wicked. The man who was more concerned, he was the man, he, Eli or Eli, how you pronounce it. The man who is more concerned about the honor of his sons than the honor of God is sure to bring a holy cause into mockery. But Hannah did not know. Maybe she knew that one day she would be the reason that those things will be exposed. Because long before Samuel was born, already a man, you can read, and you must read 1 Samuel chapter 1, 2, and 3. One man in chapter 2, verse 27, starts, a man of God had no name. Nobody said where he came from or whatever. He only came to Eli. And he said what was going to happen. Because he said, God is not in favor for what is happening. So he actually brought a bad prophecy. But never mind. Little did she know that our son would expose the concept of priest order to Eli. What we learned from Hannah, I need to say it this morning. She was sorrowful because she was childless. Now the scripture tells me, behold, children are the heritage from the Lord. But Psalm 127 verse 3 says, the fruit of the womb is a reward. In other words, she felt ashamed that she was barren. Too many Too many, not here, at another place. Let's call them Christians. They are barren. They're only good on a Sunday morning, and I think after they finish the service, they go to heaven. Hey, we need to get rid of this barrenness. We even heard it this morning. Have it in your mouth. And take that, let that word come out of your mouth. She was mocked. She was prayerful. She vowed. She said, God, give me a son, and I will give him back to you. She believed. She brought her burden to the Lord, and she went away without eat. Brothers and sisters, you know, many of us, we come. And then sometimes in the past, when we gave altar calls for people who have problems to come or join the Holy Communion table, you know, we come with the problems, we sit on the table, we eat and drink from the table, and when we leave, we take the same problems with me, with us. But it's time that we come and leave the problems with him and get out. You see, that's what we can learn from her. So she left, but what I like the most is, can you put that on? I think we got it in the New King James Version, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. But above all, she was joyful. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. What needs to come back? We need to smile again, like we said out of the first readings. We need to have again, we need to come back and really rejoicing. Don't just come on a Sunday and be motivated by this beautiful music and the choir and what they've been singing. It was wonderful, but that same song, hey, must be on you, wherever you go. We heard this morning, in the bathroom, in the motor car, wherever you go. I even sit on the toilet and I praise God. Hello, we need to start praising again, because there is power and joy. But if you walk around with all the troubles on your shoulders, my. That carried her through. Her prayer was answered. A testimonial was given. She said to Eli, remember the woman a couple of years ago whom you were actually thinking I was drinking wine? This is the woman who's here. God has answered. You know, we're here, we need, it's good to have sometimes some of the testimonials recorded, because people need to know that the same God who did great things for Carl Sanders can do great things for you. We need to start looking, oh, it's only done for him, it's only done for her, it's all there, it's there. You only need to know the Lord, you need to have more of him, his presence. Her power lies light in the presence. Her strength. You see, the horn means the strength, the honor, the rulership, the dignity, the vitality was in the horn. Rejoicing in the Lord. Yes, her vow was performed. Maybe we've got 1 Samuel 1:28. She paid her vow. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord together. Can you understand? As from a woman who went through so much issues and problems in her life, made a fool of her, a laughing stock of her, she gave birth to a son. His name was Samuel. His name means heard of God. Asked of God, we must understand, in your houses, there are Samuels. In this church, there are Samuels. Hello? I might not be there, I said, when I'm 84. That little piece is left. But hey, there are many who will carry on where I left. You need to prepare for those who carry on when you're not anymore able to. You need to invest. And the Samuels crawling on the ground. When I saw the little baby today again, oh, he's so joyful. I have never seen such a sweet little boy. You know, and the other one is singing choruses. And I realize if they grow up in this atmosphere, They become vessels, an instrument of change, because Hannah was, yeah, let me rather say this way, the key to everything. And why I focus on Hannah, I believe Hannah was a part of the remnant. I wish I could speak longer about the remnant. Maybe we can just give you the last part, the meaning of a remnant. But she prepared. She was the one who gave birth to Samuel, who became one of the greatest prophets ever in history. The one who anointed kings. The one who brought accurate prophecies. She gave birth to a son who became the remnant of that time. Listen, that time, if you take a study, and I'm not clever with all that, but there are wonderful books which can describe what the world and the condition the world was in those days. You know what? We are the same. We are at the moment at the place in this world, and what is happening in this world has been happening in that time. Therefore, I believe you need to be, or you, or some of most, or all of you, a part of a remnant. A remnant. Never mind if we have 300 or 400 million people in America and only 10 million serve the Lord. That's okay. It can only be 1 million and America can change. But we need those people who are part of a remnant. The ones who are willing to be a dirty cloth or a towel in God's hand so that they can start wiping. Because things can change through a remnant. And that is why we need to become part of that remnant. There was a little girl. A little story I want to tell you quickly because it's pumpkin time and I hate those orange pumpkins. Don't bring me a pumpkin tart. There was a little girl who hated eating pumpkin. One day she came home smiling. When asked why, she replied, "I got rid of the last pumpkin. I buried its seed." The story illustrates the total hopelessness of the devil when God said, listen what God said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Genesis 3:15. The death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus created a nightmare for the enemy. I don't want to endorse something, but the enemy is also there. Also for a reason. But I don't want to talk about that one. You see, the enemy is still around. But we've got the power. We've got it. But then you have to have it. It's no good to sing, "Send us a revival, Lord," or "Give us more power, Lord." But it's in you. You need to understand, if you are in an accurate alignment, you hear him, you see him, you know what he is saying. There's power. And that power in you is generates or catalyzes. You know what I like? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. The Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that hope, that what is in you, is a catalyst. So all of God was vested in this one seed, the word of God in creation. The remnant is vitally important because the remnant is the carrier of the seed, the Christ. You're part of the remnant, the seed. The seed has in it the original image and nature of God. We, the sons of the seed, are hidden with Christ in God. In God. So your life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3. My time is up. But let me just give you an explanation of the word remnant. I wanted to speak so much about three times Eli said, "I didn't call you." The second time he said, "Go back." The third time he said, "Lie down." We know these things. Especially some of our older guys, we know that some of those holy guys who've been 40 years ago baptized, they will tell you you're too small or you are too young. You need to have first Bible college certificate and all that nonsense. I believe those are the three things the enemy always tells the called of God. You are called, you are not called. Just go back and lie down, says Elijah, says Eli. I say, enough, wake up. Wake up, Samuel. You are not an oops or an accident. You are the voice of God, of God's plans to use. And God has a word for you to declare no more slumber, no more living in your life and a dizziness. So what I'm saying is, it's time that we should arise and come in an accurate alignment of hearing, seeing Him and His presence on us. Now, I want to close with this so they can help me. The word remnant. I know most of us are part of a remnant. Those who have grown in the Lord, who are sure who they are, start seeing you as a remnant. But there are many future remnants in your house. Hello? There are many future remnants in the streets, wherever you go. And the remnant needs to bring them in so that they also become part of the remnant. You copy that one? Because I can't explain better. Now let's go quickly to thedictionary.com. Defines it as remaining what is left over, usually a small part or a fragment or scrap, unsold, unused piece of cloth. As at the end of the bowl, the next one. What means in Old and New Testament, what remains of a group of people after most of that group has been destroyed or lost through dispersal, brought upon just upon judgment or the falling, flowing of apostasy. In other words, remnant is a wreck in the hand of God, waiting to be used to clean up the mess. If we say our country is in a mess, then it is your time to stand up and you and be used, even if you are going to be a piece of cloth. God wants to use that piece of cloth, you, to help to clear up the mess. That's why we are here for. And God is going to do it with you or without you. It's your choice. Now, lastly, even the Apostle Paul used to say, or said in Romans 11, verse 5, so too at the present time there is a remnant chosen by grace. By grace. And the reality is, Paul lived in a time much like today. Hello? Much like today. Now, we are living in a time where many key voices have grown faint of heart due to the fact that truth is not considered. Hello? Hate, speech, and passion for Jesus is considered normal, misnomer. Simply put, I believe that to take a stand for truth means you might be ostracized. Ostracized. And even mistreated. God is sounding a clarion call for His remnant to rise up and lead. The remnant must combat the false message of Gracie Greece and what I call secular Christianity. That's why I don't even like the word Christianity, because we are not Christians. We are children of God. We are sons of God. We need to be becoming true sons of God who can translate, transfer His presence. Now, I'm going to close. I asked Dan to do that for me. But the problem is, we have lost our identity. I believe it's now time for the nobodies to rise up and declare truth, or through the power of the Holy Spirit, as God has raised up remnants at the critical moments right through the history right through the history, there were remnants who helped us where we are today. In the final conclusion, I must say it, otherwise I will not be satisfied with myself. Here somewhere in 1 Samuel chapter 3, God called for Samuel, and he said for Samuel, "Samuel, I am tired. I'm fed up of Saul. I'm finished. Take a horn, make it full of oil, and go to the house of Jesse." In conclusion, there's really conclusion. I see three kinds of people in that verse. Saul, yesterday's man. Samuel, today's man. David, tomorrow's man. Even here, we've got too many yesterday's people, and we need to help them. Otherwise, it's okay. You can come and still give your offerings, or we're fine. We want to operate with the ones who want to move on, want to become today's people, who invest in the future people. You know what? Saul had a crown. He was still king. David was anointed king, had no crown. Hello? You don't need the crown. If you know who you are, you're wearing already the crown. Let's just lift the hands and praise God. Just praise God and say, "Yes, God, I want to be part of a remnant. I want to be part of a remnant." Say, "Yes, I want to." I want you to hear saying it. Say, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Here I've heard tonight, with you or without you, but I want to be part of you."
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.